Okay, great. So, yes, thanks for coming today. I know quite a few of you, but not all of you. Obviously, I teach screenwriting at undergraduate level at Warwick and have done some work with MA students as well. I've had a bit of a strange path into, well, I think most people's paths are a bit strange into being creatives or writers or artists or whatever. And I'm no exception to that. Although I did, I guess, benefit from doing a creative writing degree like a lot of you have. I was also a Warwick student quite a few years ago and then graduated in 2005. So, yeah, it's not been a linear journey by any stretch of the imagination, but it has, ultimately, I think that, having a feature film release is a sort of, it's a kind of good point at which to kind of reflect on like that journey. So as I mentioned, I did study creative writing at Warwick. I moved to China when I was 21, and that's actually where I started to work in film and TV. I was initially sort of as an assistant producer, and then because they figured out I could write and I had a obviously I had this degree in creative writing, like they asked, like a couple of my bosses asked me to sort of work on scripts as well, and I think I was a lot better at that than anything that producer has to do, i.e. particular kind of organization or Excel spreadsheets are not my friend. So yeah, I was much better off in the sort of screenwriting world. But at the same time, I was sort of dabbling with all kinds of performing arts and visual arts, and then I started to make short films. And I also sort of realized that I really liked being in control of all the creative elements that go into making a film. So that was the major draw, but it obviously started from a writing point of view, which I think has actually stood me in really good stead, because it's not that common in film and well, in television is always regarded as a writer's medium, but film is regarded as a director's medium. So a lot of directors have really cool visual ideas, but they can't really tell a story. So if you can tell a story, then obviously you're in a good space to start. I went to Columbia University in New York to do film directing, but I dropped out after a year because it was incredibly expensive. And I did get some support like from various bodies, but it just, yeah, it was really difficult to sustain. And honestly, I feel quite conflicted about film school. I think in a sense it's there to give you a network and connections, but we could, if you want to ever talk about that with me, that's fine. But I don't know. I think it was helpful to an extent, but I'm also now in retrospect kind of glad I dropped out because it sort of stops having much return after like 1 year really. But yeah, after I dropped out, I moved back to the UK and kind of, just sort of kept making short films. Some of which are on my website if you want to have a look. I think the two most recent ones are. It feels like a very long time since I made them. So yeah, my website is just myname.com, all one word. And then yeah, they started getting kind of, a bit of attention, not massive, but a bit of attention and getting into the right sort of festivals that people look at. And so that was kind of helpful. I was just talking to a director friend yesterday and she said, she didn't go to film school at all. And we were just talking about like the investment of it. And she said, well, I spent money on my feature, on my short films because they were basically my film school. And it's a good way to look at it, I think. And obviously, as you progress, you can hopefully get some funds to support you making those things. But that's also quite tough. And this climate is just going to get tougher, obviously, because of COVID. Yeah, I also wrote a novel that came out in 2015 that was with a small publisher called Blue Mark Books. And that was sort of loosely based on my experiences in China. So, yeah, that was sort of, it was around that time I sort of was also conceiving of this idea of what is now a feature project in cinemas. So that shows you kind of like the sense of time it takes to do that, which is, independent film is a long, it's quite slow journey. I had initially envisaged this idea as I was telling some of my students earlier today. I initially envisaged the idea as a short film. And that got kind of, I got some funding to make that short, and I was about to make it, and then it got, because I'd also worked on a feature script based around these same characters, I put it into this thing called Microwave, which is an initiative run by Film London, and they selected it for early stage development. And then we went through what I can only really describe as a kind of X factor for independent filmmakers, but it's like a lot less glamorous, and basically just involves like developing your project for a bit. Like, so we had like this week-long boot camp with like some really great filmmakers like Lynn Ramsey and Jim Wilson, who produces a lot for Jonathan Glazer, and Tracy Riordan, who's Claire Barnard's producer, and John York, who I think he wrote this really great book called Into the Woods, which is a story book that I use for one of my modules, but also he's like an EP on EastEnders and stuff. So like quite a various range of like really great people who, gave us a lot of feedback in that week. And then after that, they kind of whittled down the projects to six from 12. And then they developed the projects for, I think it was about 6 months. And that meant like working with the script editor, Angeline McFarlane, and trying to kind of finesse the story. And then we had to basically repitch it to a bunch of executives like the BFI and BBC Films and Film London people. So that was quite, it's quite a lot. It's quite a stressful experience, but the thing about film as a creative medium is that you are always kind of have to be a bit of a salesperson, which is not something that comes naturally to me by any stretch of the imagination, but it's something that I've like picked up on. It's also so much about network, that is just something that kind of goes with the territory. We did our pitch, and then actually they didn't even straight away green light us. They said, "Oh, we really like your project and one other one." They'd chosen one spot, the project for one spot, and then there was this other spot still free, but it was between us and this other project. And then we had to do this other like document to sort of assuage some fears I think we had about the material or whatever nonsense. And I was like, God's sake, I just want to kind of, it's really, it's just so many layers of hoops to kind of jump through, etc. Then eventually we obviously did get commissioned. So that was in 2016. And so yeah, that's quite a crazy, that was also like, obviously a bit of a journey in and of itself. So great, you get a film commission, awesome. Then, so basically the project was put into development. This process, I have to say, was obviously quite long, i.e. 4 years from, yeah, it was the sort of summer, May-ish of 2016 to now. So that's just over 4 years from, already having done a substantial amount of work on it to actually seeing it in a cinema. It was long and it was grueling, and like a lot of times I wanted to give up, and a lot of times I wanted to kill my collaborators or like at least inflict some sort of harm on them, because I was like, it's really, really stressful. But we're all like out the other side of it now, and it's all really nice and happy days. But it's a lot to take on, and it really takes a lot of resilience, I think, to see this stuff through half the time. There's so much that can go wrong. Like I don't know, I've been thinking lately, it's like it is rather amazing that any independent films really ever get made, because there's just so many shit storms, to put it bluntly, that like you don't know about, and then you only see what is finally on the screen, but there's so many things that have gone into it. It's quite amazing, really. I blogged about this experience for a publication called Little White Lies, which is a really nice cool film website, and they have a print magazine as well. It's really beautiful. They have really nice illustrations. So I can send around the links to those books if you're even vaguely interested in reading them. But then, yeah, so after we got commissioned, we went into development. Development is, it's sort of, I guess it's like basically when it's the part, it's the sort of section of time from when your script gets developed, commissioned, to when you actually go into production. I would say it probably is still like the first day of pre-production. I'll talk about what these stages mean if you're not familiar. It's like later on when I'm going through it. So, you know, that's a really long time. And, you know, that's traditionally where a lot of projects kind of get lost, or they just end up not getting made. You know, you might hear of like a novel you like getting optioned, but it's like, and you're like, oh, yay, that's going to, you know, they're going to make a film about that. But there's a lot that can, there's a lot that can happen in development that means that a project just kind of gets aside or waylaid or whatever. But in terms of Body of Water, which is the name of my film, I mean, I was really, I wanted to make a film about eating disorders from the perspective of an older character, because I felt that the traditional narrative of these kinds of stories was really focused on usually teenage girls, usually like white privileged girls. And there is a film that really bothered me called To the Bone that was really... it really sort of glamorized the main character that had anorexia, and it made her look like, you know, beautiful and elfin and this and that. And it was really, and I had, you know, experiences with anorexia and eating disorders when I was younger. I wasn't a teenager, I was in my 20s. And I had, you know, a lot of friends and family members who were older that had gone through weird, you know, periods of disordered eating or whatever. So it's something I was just really aware of, that it wasn't like this particular, you know, there's a stereotype that was perpetuated that wasn't true. So that was like a bit of a motivation. Also, I wanted to look at relationships in families between women, because that's also something I'm really interested in. And across a lot of my other work, I'd looked at like bodies and sexuality, sex identity and things like that. So kind of like made sense to me to do that. And it was a way to, it was a way in to exploring those things. So I think the thing that actually got the commission was the fact that I, like, you know, I was really, I knew this subject really well, and I was really passionate about it. And I think that's the thing that kind of did in the end push it, you know, get it greenlit, because they could see I really cared about it. Because it was never going to be, it's never going to be an easy sell. It's not like a particularly commercially minded film. It's not a particularly, you know, it's not like a popcorn movie. So it's like, you know, that was the cool thing about doing it through the scheme, because it wasn't a very big budget. They were like, okay, we'll just take the risk. You know, you can do it, but like, do it your way. So for the most part, I was able to do that, which was great. However, yeah, development was a long process. It's the process of when you're kind of, as it would suggest, developing a script to the point where you're ready to sort of finance it or do, you know, soft prep or pre-production. Soft prep is sort of the time before pre-production. Pre-production is like when you've got a set of dates, and you know when you're starting and you know where you're going, and everything is, you've got all your heads of department and all of that. Soft prep is sort of like when you might still be meeting certain heads of department. You know, you might still be kind of doing some casting and this and that, like it's a bit slower still. But an expression that is commonly bandied around amongst filmy types is, you know, this idea of development hell. And as I sort of alluded to a moment ago, you know, this is where projects, the reason it's called this is because it's so hard to get out of. It does sometimes feel a bit like purgatory, because you're often having, you know, you spend swathes of time on a draft. And then, you know, it takes a long time to get feedback from incredibly busy people at the BFI and BBC Films. So there's a lot of waiting around and a lot of, you know, existential crisis, etc. And you know, it's easy for things to lose momentum and fall down. But, you know, this is a happy story because the film actually got made. But, yeah, just in terms of, yeah, scripting, I mean, I did dozens of drafts of this story. Some of them were just reactions to notes, which was something I think I learned, you know, through this process, is how to digest notes, because they're just part of the territory. But if you're inexperienced or you're kind of unsure of yourself, it's easy to kind of take those things to heart too much. So I definitely did reactive drafts, I would say. And that was a bit of a waste of time sometimes, but it's good to know you've kind of exhausted all the possibilities, and then return to basically usually a very similar core of what you were starting with. But sometimes, like, I think it's almost like executives and story editor people need to kind of go on that journey with you just to sort of prove it's right. But it's really important to get to work with, you know, script editor particularly, that really understands your vision or what you're trying to say, and then they kind of coax it out of you. I think that's what the best script editors do. They can kind of see where you're going before you do. It's like having a guide dog or something, and they ask you all the right questions. And often I think, I don't know if any of you attended Anjali's talk last year, but you know, often it's just about asking questions, and you know, you can kind of develop yourself in that sense. Like, if you're stuck with a project, it's good to just sort of write down a set of questions and be like, well, what am I trying to say? Why, you know, is this the best way to tell this story? And if you can really wholeheartedly, you know, give confident answers and you know what you're doing, then that's great. Often you might find that you can't or you don't. So, you know, it is useful to just check in with yourself in that sense when you're developing any project, even if it's not a screenplay, you know, just to see like what is at the core of this? What is the prism of this thing that I have attached myself to or is living in my head? And how am I getting that out? Am I getting that out in the right way? So moving on to talk a bit about prep. Soft prep and prep is, you know, as I said, this is actually a really fun part because it's before everything gets really crazy, and it's when you're sort of still thinking about things in quite a broad sense. And so that would be, you know, casting. Casting is a great career option if you're interested in it. It's really creative. It's really fun. You meet lots of people. I think casting directors have a really cool job. And I work with a woman called Aisha Bywaters, who just started on her own, but she, you know, was really experienced. She'd worked with a lot of super duper casting directors over the years. And the casting of the main character was obviously, you know, hugely challenging because she is a woman who is supposed to convey, like, you know, physically manifest having an eating disorder, right? At the start of the story, she's coming out of a clinic, so she's at her best, in inverted commas, but still, obviously, in order to look convincing, it was like, you know, that was a question that I think a lot of the executives were worried about, and it was a question that we kept coming back to in development, and I had to write all these statements about to the BBC films, saying how we would manage it and how we would shoot it in a way that was respectful, because it is obviously something that can trigger people. It's something you have to be mindful of. You know, there is a sort of ethical thing about doing this kind of material, but at the same time, it was something I was kind of, as above, I was really committed to, and I thought if I can just find the right actress who really gets it and gets me and we get along, I think that would be it. And I did find that person, which was kind of incredible, but I didn't really meet that many actresses for the main role because I think, one, you know, a lot of actors were probably quite scared of it, and two, you know, actually once I met Shan, I was a bit like, you know what, she's amazing, and she really got like the character, and we got each other, and we were like, okay, yeah, we can definitely go on this trip together, because it was like a really intense, crazy trip. But initially, I remember saying in a Q&A we did together that she was a bit scared of reading the script because she knew what was involved. And you know, she's a mom of two little boys, like she has a life, and she knew that this was going to take a lot of work. I think she also saw the potential of it and the challenge of it, and she's someone that likes a challenge like I do, so that was great. She was in. So how we managed that was he's a nutritionist and a personal trainer in one person, so that was a bit of a I won't get one free moment. But yeah, so he started working with her, I mean, softly about 4 months before production, but then about 3 months before we were to start shooting, she was intensely training. She'd never had any issues with food herself, and that was also really important and I think helpful, because I think we were very conscious that we wouldn't want to probably cast someone that had experienced stuff like this in case it triggered anything off, because it can, and you just don't know how people are going to react. So, but it was obviously a big risk for her. Aside from that, there's two other main characters. She's her daughter called Pearl, and then her mother, who is called Susan. So I saw a lot more actors for those roles. There's a lot of young women actresses, you know, of age to play kind of teenage girls. And so, yeah, that was like, you know, a lot of time spent on meeting those girls and sort of pulling it down to a couple, and then doing a chemistry test with Shan, because obviously we cast Shan first. And listening to her input, actually, because, you know, she had instincts, but actually we chose the person that she was less enthusiastic about in it. That's a secret. But anyway, I shouldn't have said that. But it was funny. It's just funny how these things work out. But and that was Fabienne. And then in terms of casting the mother, you know, it was interesting because we got a lot of, you know, really high caliber, a lot of television actresses, because our budget wasn't massive, you know, obviously that kind of immediately, you know, cuts out a few people. But then I had a similar experience with Amanda Burton, who plays Shan's mother, who, when she came into the room, I was like, oh yeah, it should be her. Like, it was really like an instinctive thing. And I couldn't really see past her once I'd seen her, and it was a bit of a shame on the other people that I had to audition, but she took on the role and she was awesome. So yeah, other than that, with prep, it's about meetings and engaging sort of core crew, talking through your creative aspects with them, talking to your cinematographer about like shots. But then obviously you have to do a lot of location scouting with your cinematographer and your production designer and your art director to figure out what location fits, you know, your vision, and can it work in terms of camera and storytelling. So yeah, it's a really mad time. At the same time, actually, finance is getting kind of, hopefully getting kind of tied up, and that kind of lingered on for us for a really uncomfortably late time, because we had a financier who couldn't actually come up with the money that we needed by the time we needed it. And we'd been talking to them for like a year, and then they kind of just, you know, just couldn't do it, which is actually remarkably common as well, I might add. And so we had a sort of frantic couple of weeks of like really scrabbling around, and I had about 10 nervous breakdowns because I thought, oh my God, we might not actually make this film. And, you know, this is the reality. So yeah, then after prep or soft prep, you move into pre-production, which is, you know, when your finance is locked down, finally, money is released, so you can obviously, you know, get crew involved, and you can lock down your location. All your elements of prep were done by all the departments, including stuff like costume, hair, makeup, production design, obviously camera, and, you know, all the sort of management aspects of how you're managing locations fall to the producer. It's a lot. Yeah, it's also a time to do a script read through with your actors and workshop any bits that might not be quite working, or and listening to sort of the actress feedback on scenes. Most of my time was spent with my DOP Darren, director of photography Darren, who planning each shot, how we wanted each scene to look and feel, and then sort of working accordingly. Some people like to do storyboards, I don't, so, you know, everyone can do this a bit differently. It's also like reproduction is actually, it's a, it's, you know, it's where a lot, so much is changing all the time that it's like, it's quite full on. But I think like once you're into a shoot, it's better because there's stuff that's decided on. Obviously there's things that change, but yeah, I feel like pre-production is probably because there's just so many still variables, that it's, yeah, that can be quite a lot to deal with, but you know, it's all good. In terms of the shoot, we shot for 16 days, which is hardly anything for a feature film, plus one pickup day, which we did in Seaford. So that's about 4 or 5 pages a day. That's how you break it down. You're shooting 4 or 5 pages a day, which is really not ideal. But because I'd always conceived the sort of visual language of the film to be quite like a lot of, I really like working with like long takes and you know, static camera for this film. I wanted to do a lot of static camera just because of how I'd imagined this character being framed and all. It actually was okay, just, but yeah, obviously there's never enough time to do all the things you want to do. And my Darren, the director of photography, has a really great saying. It's Tarkovsky in the morning and EastEnders in the afternoon, because you're like scrambling to get all your shots for the day. You start off with all the time in the world in the morning, and then you know, yeah, you sort of crap yourself, and then you have to gun through at the end, and everyone's like tired, and yeah, it's almost like being in a war zone, really, doing an independent film, but just a kind of like, you know, nice creative one. But still, it's because it's just nuts. Okay, so yeah, I mean, also you have to be really flexible. Like we had a couple of locations fall through at last minute, and you know, you have to figure out alternatives, or you know, use another, like replan your day in order to go back to that one that fell through. And yeah, it's a very big beast. But yeah, we shot mostly in London and Essex. The interior home locations are all in London, and then I think most of the exteriors and other locations interiors are in Essex. So that was quite good. It was quite a contained environment in Essex, and they weren't really used to having film crews around, so you know, it was a bit exciting for them, because in London everyone's kind of over like, you know, indie films makers, like, you know, trying to get stuff for cheap. So but in Essex it was like, oh yeah, this is great, you know. They kind of indulged us a fair amount, which was nice. So yeah, we wrapped the shoot in May 2018, and the film was basically in post-production until the end of last year, rough-ish, which is a problem, is longer than it should have been for various reasons that I'm not going to bore you with. But so we had like 5 or so months in the edit, which was right after the shoot, and then we had to do like round tables of feedback with BFI, BBC Films, Film London. And yeah, the initial reactions were really good, so that was like heartening. And like I knew the story hung together because like the editor did a cut her way, and like as well, I didn't like, that wasn't what I wanted. It was like, oh well, at least the story works, you know. So then yeah, the actual picture lock was sort of the beginning of 2019-ish. And then we were do went into sound design and mix and music composition for about 5 months or so. And again, because we were operating on quite a low budget, it was like people had to do other projects, and you know, it wasn't like we could demand 100% of their time and concentration for months on end. So it was like, it was sort of fitting around other people's schedules a little bit, including my own. So but that was a really fun part of the process, like sound design and the music part, and you know, thinking about how those elements can integrate with your picture and your story is like, is really fun. And obviously I think sometimes people kind of forget about it until last, like until too late. But it's also nice to be in post-production because you've basically got all your well, most of your material, although you can go back and reshoot stuff. And it's, yeah, you can mess around with it. Nothing, you know, it's not going to cost you anything. You know, it's just like, it's a blessed relief after like pre-production, production, to be honest. We then did a te we went to Technicolor to do our color grade, which is obviously when you color correct all the shots. And again, we worked with a really great colorist, but she was very much in demand. So again, it took a while to fit around her schedule and finish it and do all the visual effects. It's weird because obviously it's a small drama and you're like, how can there be visual effects? There's visual effects in every single film now. It's crazy just because it's so easy to do with digital technology. So yeah, but we had to do a few of those, including like building. There's some scenes where the character's looking at a computer, so that had to be. We didn't get that in camera, so we had to build it. It's actually not very complicated, but you know, it's just another thing to do. And then at this point, we sort of started submitting it to festivals. Sort of yeah, late last year. And then it got yeah, it was premiered at Glasgow in February, which was actually the last in-person festival that happened in the UK before you know, COVID blessed us with its presence. So I was really happy that we actually got that in there because I know that there are virtual festivals going on obviously, but like it's not quite the same. And so good that everyone got their like moment to like celebrate the film and you know, meet up with crew and stuff that hadn't seen the final version. So that happened, and then we didn't have a sales agent before that, but we got picked up by Verve, which is a small independent distributor, and they have a really good track record of like cracking new directors, like you know, Yorgos Lanthimos and Andrea Arnold and stuff like they're first films were distributed by Verve, so they're like a really nice home for like you know, sort of different dramas and particularly debuts like mine. So yeah, it felt like a really good place, and they've been like really lovely to work with. It's not a very big team, but I think that's kind of better because you know, it's not a massive film. I think sometimes if you're with massive distributors or whatever, it can you know, you can get a bit lost. It's like anything. So yeah, that takes us up to last week and last sort of month or two have been about you know, PR and all that stuff, which has been really fun, but also like yeah, it's quite a lot to take on. Yeah, so lots of interviews and reviews and things like that, and yeah, now it's out in the world, so it feels excellent, I have to say, after all that time. So that's my story of Body of Water. I just want to make a quick